Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We've been talking about feral pigs on today's show, along with the Super Bowl, basketball, big basketball game coming up, Oregon women's basketball program playing at UConn today, tip 4 o'clock. We will talk about that tomorrow. Maybe we'll get Kelly Graves on the show tomorrow. But we've got an interesting story, not just in Texas, but across the country. You've got swine that are wild and reproducing at a rate that is greater, in which they are being removed. And one of our listeners, Lad, sent me, tweeted at me during the commercial break, a story out of California where the wild pigs are invading neighborhoods in California and tearing up the yards. And you've got farmers in Texas. Dan Green wrote a great piece on SportsIllustrated.com. It'll be in the magazine, the February 2020 issue, and he's joining us now. Now, Dan, how did you come upon this story? I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I came upon this, got the idea a couple of years ago. A good friend of mine had read something about the feral hog population, how it was kind of spreading across the country and growing, and it kind of became this running joke that it was going to come and get us where we were living at the time in New York City. So we were always, you know, kind of joking about the feral pig population. And then I looked into it, found out more how serious it is and what a big problem this is in so many places. And yeah, just the more I read about it, the more fascinated I became. And so I pitched it to an editor at SI, and you know, we kind of figured out the sports connection there and then got to go ahead and do it last summer.
Give us an idea of what are we talking about, in what regions are the pigs most prevalent, like when we... Because, you know, you don't see them on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so they're most prevalent in kind of the Texas, Arkansas area. And I know the Carolinas has a significant problem. There's been a growing one in Tennessee, too. But there are at least some found in almost every state. And some of these are kind of isolated populations in small patches, because one of the big ways that they've spread has been through hunters who enjoy hunting wild pigs, will trap them and then go release them in a new area to start a kind of new wild population there, so then they can go and hunt them. And so what that's led to is a bunch of these little isolated populations in all sorts of different regions all over the country. So the densest populations are in Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and that sort of region, northern Louisiana. But they're, you know, they can be found in a lot of different places, lots of different woods, and they can live in just about every environment too, and live off pretty much anything. So they're all over the place.
I'm fascinated by this, and now, you know, seeing that it's a problem and then the solutions that have come up, what have been among the solutions that have been tried over the years?
Yeah, well, it started with, you know, just kind of basic hunting too. I mean, a lot of this, when it first started becoming a problem, it was first recognized in a lot of cases by farmers. Their crops were being destroyed by these pigs. In some cases, their livestock was being eaten or attacked by the pigs, or you know, the pigs would break through a fence and you know, the livestock and animals would get out. But anyway, so a lot of that, you know, people would just hunt them. They would shoot at them when they were in their backyards or whatever that was. And then there started being larger concerted efforts to build a lot of traps. And these kind of corral traps where they would be kind of lured into a fenced area. And then when they would take the food, you know, it would collapse around them. There's ones that kind of drop down around them. And in these cases, you know, the pigs are all trapped and they're still alive. They're often, you know, then can be brought to a meat processing plant or sold to somebody for those purposes. And then, yeah, there have been, one of the big things in my article is this helicopter hunting, this aerial gunning That's become more popular in Texas, but they do it in some other places too. You know, it's hard to get them all that way. They repopulate so fast, and they're really smart, and they're good at avoiding predators, and in this case being humans hunting them. So yeah, there's been other efforts to create a type of poison that they would eat and then either die from that or not be able to reproduce anymore, be kind of chemically castrated or neutered in that way. But some of the problems with that is then once they die, other animals eat them and ingest them, and it could kill them and harm them. And then also, you know, other animals will just sometimes eat the bait too. So it's been really hard to target this population and come up with a kind of concerted effort and a comprehensive way of doing this. But some of the best ways so far have been kind of organized trapping efforts. And also, in some cases, they've made it so you can't hunt them on public land anymore, which has discouraged people from bringing them there in the first place. It's kind of a counterintuitive thing that if you don't let people hunt them, they'll go away. But in this way, it would stop people from starting new populations, these kind of seed populations from that would be transported from another area.
Dan Green with us. Great piece in Sports Illustrated on the feral hog issue. Is there a concern that if nothing's done, that we're going to one day see, you know, pigs running down every street in America? Is it reached that point, or how concerned is the USDA and others?
I think it has finally gotten some national attention in just the last few years. Congress has appropriated funds for it for the first time. It used to be really hard to get anything on a national level because, you know, people didn't take it that seriously or know that it was a real serious problem in areas that weren't as affected. If, you know, I was in Texas for the story, and you go around and everyone's got stories about feral hogs and they're somewhere on their property or in their farmland or their friend's property or something like that. But a lot of these other places, like you said, you people aren't seeing them in the streets. They aren't seeing them anywhere. I think it would be a long time before they became a problem everywhere and where they're kind of running down the streets. But they're you know, there are areas where they're affecting everyday life, and that's, you know, people's farmlands, that's people's property. And, you know, America is such a huge landscape and just such a massive landmass that, you know, I don't think they'll be, you know, shacking up on the corner of, you know, Central Park in Manhattan or, you know, in downtown Chicago or whatever. But yes, there is a, you know, a concern that they would be a more regular part of people's lives, especially in rural areas or in even suburban areas, which I know has happened to some in California.
Can you tell us about the pork chopper movement in Texas and what's going on with the AR-15s and the helicopters?
Yeah, so the pork chopper bill, as it was known in the Texas legislature, was introduced a few years ago, and the idea was, you know, it came from this legislator down there, Sid Miller, and the idea was they had to deal with all these feral pigs, and the problem was that a lot of Texas's land, I believe 95% of it is privately owned, so the state can't really do that much about it. So they kind of came up with this combination of all these factors and said, well, what can we do? We can make it legal for people to basically do tourism hunting, where there'll be these helicopters that go up and you can book a trip and you can ride in a helicopter and out the side in the back of it, shoot at pigs from above. You have an AR-15 is the weapon of choice. You typically need something pretty powerful, because of the pig's thick hide. And, you know, you can go out for a couple hours on these guided tours and shoot at pigs from the sky. The companies will have leased certain property, certain land with the landowners that they have permission to hunt on. And these are huge, huge properties, tons of acres. So, they'll have clearance to do it, and they'll just, you know, bring people around for a little bit and hunt them from the sky. And, you know, people come from all over the place to do this. And I was talking to people from these companies down in Texas. There are people coming from Australia, from Mexico, from, Asia, from Europe, and then obviously from all over the states too. So it's helped a little bit, and it's not going to be enough. The population down there is so huge that it'd be hard to do solely with these helicopter hunts. But, you know, anything you can do that's going to incentivize the average person to participate in this, and then, you know, help these small businesses turn a buck too, it's kind of down there seen as a win-win-win.
talking to Dan Green, the piece in Sports Illustrated. I will tweet it out. Great piece on feral pigs. Now, they're not killing the pigs, even with the helicopters, at a rate that would help eradicate the population. So what's the next move in Texas?
The next move is that they're really trying to develop some kind of bait that they can leave out that will either kill the pigs or, you know, I mentioned that they've tried this before, but it's either had, you know, problems with contaminating others and other animals or disrupting the local ecosystems. But that's really the next step. And there's a lot of efforts, too, to educate the public on how easy it can be to build a trap of your own. There's fancy high-tech ones you can spend a few thousand dollars on that have, you know, cameras that connect to your smartphone, and you can drop the trap around the pig when you get a motion sensor on the camera. But there's other ones you can build with some simple fence and you know, things you can go get at the Home Depot. And so there's a lot of people trying to, you know, help educate people to how they can pitch in and trap them in that way. And just kind of, you know, the things that are being done, trying to get them done on a larger scale and just increase the awareness of this so people know they could address it on their own terms and on their own land.
Now, I know there's people listening to this that are saying, hey, it's not humane. That sounds like a horrible way to try to fix this problem. Did you get any video or did you get a look up close at what that hunt is actually like?
I rode along on one of them, and you know, I saw it from the sky, so you can't really see too clearly the pigs dying in terms of how humane it is. You know, sometimes it takes a few shots. You know, some of the criticism that's come of this is that, you know, even if you basically have to shoot them perfectly to kill them on one shot. So otherwise these pigs are suffering and running around, sometimes escaping injured, sometimes running around bleeding for a while before they die, or, you know, getting shot multiple times to take them out. So it's not a pretty process. And, you know, I'm sure it runs into a lot of the qualms that people have about hunting in general. This may be more than others because they're so hard to kill cleanly, get kind of, you know, what they call clean shots. But, you know, there are other humane ways of doing it. You know, when you're trapping them alive and then taken somewhere and it's kind of handled more, cleanly, so to speak. But the hunting one, I mean, yeah, if people have, you know, have issues with hunting animals, a lot of that those same issues will come up here.
We're talking to Dan Green, a piece in Sports Illustrated. It's fascinating. It's sure to get a lot of attention. You mentioned in the piece sort of clusters that are popping up because people have relocated some of these feral hogs because they want to hunt them. Where in the country are those hot spots?
There's distribution maps you can find online that show some in there's some in Minnesota. There's isolated ones in, you know, New Hampshire. That was actually one of the first isolated ones because this very wealthy man in the late 1800s stocked his property with hogs that he imported from Europe, and then the boars that he imported from Europe, they ended up escaping and crossbreeding with domesticated pigs. But anyway, they're pretty much everywhere. You know, you look at, there's pockets in Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota. I believe there's some in Oregon. I know Oregon has actually cut down its population pretty successfully in the last few years. There's parts all over California and in the Southwest. You know, in most states you can find at least some little cluster. And if you look on these distribution maps, there you can almost kind of figure out where they were dropped out and where they kind of spread from these epicenters.
There's a little bit of a video game feel to it because it's like, you know, you pay, how much are these people paying, by the way, to ride in the copter and shoot the AR-15?
I believe it's usually upwards of $1,000. And there's some, you know, you go all day. There's some you go for an hour or two. So there's a big range.
I'm fascinated by this, but it's a little bit of video game to it because people are just out there sort of shooting an AR-15 from a helicopter. You can't do that every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I was riding along on the helicopter for the first time, and you know, you look back and you see people with the guns kind of, you know, across their lap safely and everything. But then you're looking down on just the, you know, the Texas landscape, and it's a very bizarre combination of images that really doesn't seem out of real life to be riding along in a helicopter with people with machine guns over these very normal looking farmlands. And, you know, you just see trucks going on the highway and and they're not shooting anywhere near the roads or anything. But to get to the stand, you're going over, you know, all the sorts of normal, everyday Texas towns. And so, yeah, there's a very kind of video game movie type feel where it's a combination of like you said, these highly powered rifles and then helicopters, and there's pigs, but you're in kind of normal everyday America. It's a very interesting combination of images.
Dan Green, Sports Illustrated, read them there. Dan, thank you, man. Great stuff.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Awesome story. But here's my thing. Where do you stand as you hear this? Intrigued? Have you ever done it? Would you want to do it? Or are you turned off by the idea and think, wow, this is just another inhumane thing that humans do? 503-417-7575. ReflexKnees.com. If you got knee pain, you don't have to have knee pain. I used to think that was just how I was supposed to be. Then I found Reflex. Stem cell treatment, PRP therapy. If you're in pain or someone you care about's in pain, do not wait. Go to ReflexKnees.com right now. Make an appointment for a consultation. Tell them I sent you in. They take most insurances, but they are a lifesaver for me, and you hear me talking about them all the time on the show, and there's not a week that goes by that somebody doesn't ask me, what's the knee place? It's Reflex. ReflexKnees.com. All right, we've been talking about feral pigs on the show. I want your reaction to it. I have mixed feelings about it. On one hand, the pigs have become a problem. On the other hand, maybe the helicopters are the problem and the AR-15s. Let's go to Mark, who's in Portland. Mark, what's your reaction?
Yeah, John, I have a follow-up for your last caller.
Yeah.
I was in Maui, Hawaii, in September, out playing golf by myself, and I hooked up with a local. We're going down the fairway. We got about the third hole. And I looked down by the green. There's just mud all over. Just the grass just tore up. And I looked at him. I said, what's that? And he said, well, these feral pigs, they come out of the sugarcane fields, and they just go crazy there. They just root and rock around, and he said they don't do anything about it, so they don't kill them.
Yeah, they will reproduce 5 to 6 a year per pig. So Hawaii may have a reckoning day coming. I have mixed feelings because on one hand, I do think that the population of pigs needs to be controlled because you don't know the sort of in the circle of life and the ecological balance, you don't know what's the effect of that. What are the pigs removing in sort of the ecosystem? And by the way, nothing seems to be hunting the pigs except for people, but is an AR-15 hanging out of a chopper the right way to do that? Kevin's in Forest Grove. Kevin, go ahead.
Cajon Ranch is off I-5 at the Grapevine, if you've heard of that. Southern California. It's the biggest contiguous ranch in the United States, 273,000 acres. They have wild pig hunts up there. They charge them $1,000 a piece. But the thing is they tear up the ecosystem for the wild turkey and a lot of the other wild animals, and they just root up looking for acorns or whatever they dig up all sorts of ground, and so they got a huge problem with them because they're out of control. But they've got people. I mean, they do elk hunts up there. It costs $25,000 to go shoot an elk, but $1,000. So they're making good money off of it, but that's the only way they can control them up there.
Yeah, and they're not, though. The problem is that they're not shooting them, and at least in Texas, at a rate that controls the population. So this really isn't like a solution, a long-term solution. I want to know more from, is it a humane thing? Is it inhumane? Am I being sensitive?
No, it is inhumane. It's terrible.
You know, people are joked that like the pigs are out there. They don't know what's coming. They hear the chopper coming, and then all of a sudden there's searing hot metal being shot from the skies at them. And they found the pigs that are wounded but not killed. I don't know. John's in Portland. John, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I would definitely like to weigh in on just kind of the humanity of it or inhumanity of it. Sure. I don't agree with it. I think it is really, really awful. It's, I think, especially the, like you say, the video game quality of like being so far removed, high up above, just spraying bullets and kind of getting your yahoos out. I think really allows you to be removed from the cold hard fact that there are these feeling intelligent beings down there, just being, you know, maimed and not cleanly killed at all. And I think it's not a good human. I think it's inhumane by far.
Appreciate that. How do you control the population then? Trap them, poison them, sterilize them. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying, how do you do it? JD's in Milwaukee. JD, what's up?
Hi, John. Thank you for all you guys do. My parents were cranberry growers in Bandon, Oregon for years. And as a farmer, you get a agricultural tag because deer hooves really tear up the vines. Because when you plant a bog, it takes like 3 to 4 years to get a yield. And my dad never wanted to do it. But you have to, because that's hurting your crop. And when you've got 10 or 12 deer in a bog, and we had 17 bogs, you have to do it because it protects your crop to keep them down, because more deer come.
Yeah.
They just keep coming. And the pig thing, you know, they got to go. I mean, I agree with you. It's, a lot of people think it's inhumane, but you got to control the population. And then the cougars start coming. That's when it gets bad, when you're working in the bogs and they show up and you're out there in the middle of the bog and you have no backup.
I love that. Like, I have this image of you in waders out in the bog.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the greatest thing ever. Looking up online, it's great. But when you're out there, you're not packing.
No. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Whole nother thing. We're going to continue this on tomorrow's show. Adriana, you look sick to your stomach.
I never thought we'd be talking about this on the show.
Somebody tweeted at me, if there's so many pigs, how come the price of bacon is so high? Because it ain't that kind of bacon. It's not that kind of pig. I think they've got to find a better solution. But I think throwing bullets and money at it may not be the best thing, like, right away. I think we're in the early stages of solving a problem. By the way, can I just say for a second, this is a man-made...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.